This may not be a long message, but prayerfully it will be encouraging. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through verses 18. The Word of God says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I want to talk about living in His will. Living in His will. So often in life, we do the best we think we know how as it pertains to living. And many times we do things not because we know how, but because it's what we have grown and learned to do. We're living in a time now where it almost appears that the status quo is right. Folk live based on whatever the rest of the world says is okay. And all this really means, and what it says as pertains to our society, is that people want to do what they want to do and want everybody else to leave them alone. Just let me do my thing. Let me do what matters to me. Let me be who I want to be. However, I just really want to tell you that if we are believers, children of God, if we are Christian, we just can't do what we want to do.
That's right, bro. That's right.
A lot of times we can't be who we want to be. But we've got to be everything that God desires us to be. Is this making sense? And so it is the same thing as it pertains to circumstances and issues and how life flows for us. Things are not always the way we want them to be. Things don't always operate and happen the way we want them to operate and happen. I mean, we make plans, and sometimes our plans are broken and are interrupted, and we make decisions, and oftentimes our decisions are not necessarily the right decision, or they are broken. We live and we wait and we expect and we want. And life doesn't always go the way we think it ought to go. But one thing rest assured is that Christ is our master.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
And one thing rest assured is that Christ is coming back again.
Yes, sir. That's right. Amen. That's the truth there.
In a long way around, I was just getting to the fact that this is what the church in Thessalonica was experiencing. Their main question at the time was, when is Jesus returning? That was their question.
That was
That was the purpose of this particular letter to this church. They were being persecuted. They were being mistreated. They were being alienated. Yeah. Look, they were suffering. Stuff just wasn't working out for the Christian. Many of them were hurting. Things weren't going the way they thought they ought to went. And their question was, when is that guy from Galilee, from Nazareth, the one who died, on the, when is he coming back? That was their question. Saying life, they were saying, look. They were saying, it's hard out here for a Christian.
Yes, sir. Hard on him. Yes, sir.
They were saying, it's rough. It's tough.
Yeah.
When is he coming back? When will it be a day when I can just be able to just bask in his glory? When is he coming back? When will trouble cease? When will...
Yeah.
Stuff just stopped happening to me.
Yeah. All right. Yes, sir.
Trying to hold on. Pastor Paul, trying to hold on, but it's getting tough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, sir.
It's getting rough.
Yeah.
You said he'd be back soon. He said he's coming back soon. We ain't seen him yet. Where is he? I don't want us to be too hard on them, because some of us ask the same questions, but we ask it differently.
That's right, Amen.
We ask stuff like, why me?
Why me? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Amen.
When is this all going to be over?
Yeah, uh-huh. Yes, sir. That's right.
And Paul sends word to them. He sends letter. He writes letter. He tells them. He lets them know. He says he'll be back when he gets back. I'm paraphrasing, but that's really what he said. He said, don't worry about all of that. What you do is you keep on doing what Christians are supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
Until he returns.
Yes, sir.
In the midst of your persecution, you keep doing what Christians are supposed to do.
Yes, sir.
Prepare yourself for his return, and prepare yourself for his return by living in his will.
Yes, sir.
Living according to his will. Living according to his will. Remember, verse 18 says, for this is the will of God.
Yes, sir.
In Christ Jesus for you. Paul says that while we're dealing and while we're going through life, while we're living, while we're where we are, wherever we are, he says, here's some things that you can do. First of all, what you can do is you can rejoice That word rejoice, it means to be glad, but even more so, it means to add gladness.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
The picture is that of a person who is in life, or a person who has joy, but he adds more joy to what he has. He says, rejoice. He says, but he didn't say just rejoice. He says, rejoice always.
That's what he said. Book.
And when is always? See, there is no to be continued with rejoicing. You know what to be continued really means is, right? It means that it's a cliffhanger. I know. Let me scan the crowd. Y'all used to watch Dallas. You remember when? Remember when? I had to go back. they don't watch Greenleaf in here. Y'all don't watch Greenleaf, and I know y'all don't watch Empire, and you know, you. You know, y'all don't watch Blacklist, and you know, y'all don't watch. So go to shows, y'all. You know, remember when JR got shot?
Yeah.
Look at that. Everybody wanted to know who shot. And so the cliffhanger says that, I mean, I stopped watching, you know what I'm saying? And the show is going to stop, and we're going to be on hiatus until next fall.
Yeah.
Then I'll know who shot JR.
Yeah.
It turned out to be Sue Ellen? Was it Sue Ellen? He says there is no cliffhanger with joy. Joy does not stop.
No, sir.
But I keep adding joy.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I keep remembering how good God is, and
yes, sir.
And be glad about
yes, sir.
The goodness of God. Rejoice always. Not rejoice and then struggle and then rejoice after the struggle. But he says always, add joy. Even in the midst of your struggle, even in the midst of your hurt, even in the midst of your pain, even in the midst of whatever you're dealing with, add some joy.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Add joy. Reverend, how do I do that? Here's a couple things you can do. Here's one thing you can do. You can add joy by looking at the fact that whatever you're in, you won't be there for long.
Amen. Yeah. That's joy right there. Yeah. Yes, sir. Shout right there, Ralph. Yeah,
here's another thing. Wherever you are, just know that because you know you are there, God has purpose for you.
Amen.
You remember one of my favorites, Job, while he was suffering.
Yes, sir.
His words were that, you know, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That was just him adding joy.
Yes,
saying, look, I know that I don't know what's going on. I don't know what God is doing. I don't know what he's up to. But whatever it is, it's going to be all right.
Yes, sir.
He says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Rejoice always, whatever it is.
Yeah.
When people are trying to hold you back, rejoice.
Yeah.
When you're being talked about,
rejoice.
Yeah. Look, you ought to have a shouting party when you hear folks talking about you. Look, I used to get irritated. I mean, doubly irritated when somebody would come and tell me what somebody else said, you know, and it'd be in the negative. And I used to get upset. But here recently, I discovered that, you know what, I ought to just be jumping for joy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's mine. You.
Because I was on somebody's mind.
Yeah. I hear you, man. Yeah. It's mine.
Next time somebody come and tell me, Pastor, Claude, or Reverend, you know what I'm saying, so and so and so, I'm just going to start saying, woo!
There you go.
Reverend, what you doing? I'm adding joy.
Hey. Yes, sir.
Get to a point where you understand that everything, here's the big thing. Add joy always, because God has it all in control.
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, he does.
He has it all in control. Everything is in his control. This is why you can add joy. Because you know that nothing happens, nothing occurs, no event in your life ever happens without God saying, it's okay. How do I know that? How do I know that? Scripture teaches us that the Lord came, it says, and Job says, came, and he looked, and the sons and daughters were there, And Satan was among them. And he said, what are you doing here?
That's what he said.
He said, I'm just looking for somebody I can mess up.
Yeah. Amen.
Somebody I can mess with. And he said, have you considered? Rejoice. Because only things can happen that God allows to happen. And if he lets it happen, he can unhappen it.
That's right. That's right, brother. Amen. Show him. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen.
Here's another thing he teaches us. Paul says, look, you're waiting on Christ to return. I want you to rejoice because you know he's coming. Rejoice because you know that one day he will be back. But when, Paul? Don't worry about all that. Just rejoice. Him not returning takes nothing. I mean, it doesn't take any validity away. It's still true. He still will have. Look, you ought to be joyful because I give you a little extra time to get yourself right.
Yeah, yes, sir.
You ought to be shouting, "Woo!" I know he's coming. Thank you for another day.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
He says, rejoice always. Rejoice always because he is returning. And then look, this is what he says. Secondly, he says to us, he says, pray without ceasing. He says to pray without ceasing. Yeah. Teaching us that in everything, look, don't stop praying. Rejoice all the time and don't stop praying. Look, baby, if you're going to make it, if you want to make it, if you believe you can make it, you better pray. Remember, they're being attacked on all sides, being mistreated. Thessalonica, they were being repudiated for being Christians. They were being tried and tested. Their faith was being tested. And,
yes, it was.
And he says, pray.
Pray.
He says, pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. He's as though he's saying, now is a good time to pray. And then after that, now is a good time to pray. And then after that, now is a good time to pray. And after that, now is a good time to pray. You're going to get it in a minute. After that, now is a good time to pray. Never stop praying. Don't stop praying. And that's not saying walk around all the time. It's that you... Prayer becomes consistent in your life. You pray about your decisions. You pray about whatever you're dealing with. You pray about people. You pray about your relationship with God. You pray for your relationship with God. You continue praying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Another way of saying this is don't stop consulting God. So don't live without consulting God. Don't live without saying to God, look, God, how am I supposed to do this? What is your will?
Yeah, yeah.
Where do I go from here, Lord? I've been trying to figure it out on my own. I'm tired of trying to figure it out on my own, Lord. Yeah. And so I'm going to pray.
Yes, sir.
They were being talked about, mistreated. We pray. It really gives us a lesson that, look, when people attempt to hurt you, pray for them.
Amen. Amen.
I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amen there because good thing I ain't preaching for the amen. Well, I'd have been sat down, right? When people mistreat you, pray for them. Look, prayer does things that cussing can't. Prayer has power that fight doesn't have. Prayer can make, look, prayer can change, look, watch this. Big Mama said prayer changes things. And I learned something. Here's the caveat, that prayer not only changes things, but prayer can change us too. Change situations. And there are moments at time when that prayer may not change the situation, but it will fix us in the situation. You may not know. Look. Don't pray that Lord change folks' mind. He may not want their mind changed. Pray that the Lord help you deal with it. Does it make sense? Pray. And sometimes that becomes so cliché to we sometimes don't even want to say it to people, do we? Sometimes it gets uncomfortable. We say, you know, well, keep praying. Paul says, he says something to us, and I got to go back to verse 18, for this is the will of God for us. The will of God is that we add joy, but it's also that we pray without stopping. Don't stop praying. Don't stop talking to God. He's listening. That's why I don't understand when folks say, well, you know, I can't find nobody to talk to. Look, let me. I know somebody.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
That's right. Sister Carly. He won't tell you secrets. Amen. You can leave him right there.
Amen.
Pray. When we mess up, pray. Pray repentantly. When other people around us are going through, pray for them and pray with them. Look, sometimes the best thing we can do in order to be able to add joy is to pray for other people. He said, this is the will of God for you through Christ, that you pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. When it hurts, don't stop praying. When it feels good, don't stop praying. When you're on the pedestal and the apex of your career, don't stop praying. When things are going right, when you got money in your pocket, just don't stop praying. When your money starts acting funny and your change start acting strange, don't stop praying. Please don't stop praying. When friends are many, don't stop praying. When friends are few, don't stop praying. In church, don't stop praying. Out of church, don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Prayer is your constant communication with God. It's your constant communication with God. It's your constant talk with the Lord, telling the Lord, Lord, you got this.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I don't know everything you're doing, but you got it, Lord. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
Don't stop praying. I've been there too long. Here's the next thing he teaches us. And this is the tough one. Say thank you. Add joy every day. Don't stop praying and say thank you. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When is he coming back? Paul says, just say thank you. Be thankful, first of all, that you have a hope and expectation for him to come back. But then he goes a little further and says to us, in all circumstances, regardless of where you are in life, say thank you. I think I said this before, I said it again. One good reason why you should be able to say thank you is because of this. Watch this. You ought to be able to say thank you because it could be worse. It could always be worse. Reverend, thank him for what? Thank him for what, Reverend? You don't know what I've been going through. Thank him for what? Thank him for the hurt? Yes, thank him. Because you know you got it. It could be worse. What could be worse than this? I don't know. But it could always be worse. Job said, all of my appointed years.
Oh, not something with all.
I'm a paraphrase. He said, I'll just wait right here until my change comes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, remember, this is after he done lost his cattle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
He done lost his sheep. He lost his money. Mm-hmm. His wife became a desperate housewife. Going on and curse God so you can die. I mean, you're starting to look bad, smell bad. Look, he lost all of his belongings, his children, I mean, everything. And yet he still says, I'm going to wait until my change comes. That's his way of saying it could be worse than this.
That's right.
Boils all over his body.
Yes, sir.
So much so he couldn't scratch his itch. He had to break pottery to scratch his itch. Mm-hmm. Skin falling off of him.
Yes, sir.
But he still says, I'm going to
wait
until my change comes. Because somehow, some way, God will make a way. I don't know how.
Come on,
I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know what it's going to be. But I know one thing. It's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
Here's what you do. You take little holy hands and just lift them up and just say, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your mercy.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for your grace.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for your goodness. Thank you.
Thank you.
For all that you're doing. He says, in all circumstances, regardless of what the circumstance, regardless of what it is, lost job, thank the Lord. You've been trying to leave that job anyway. You've been threatening to leave. The only reason why you didn't leave is because you didn't want to lose your unemployment. So you wait until they fired you. Thank the Lord. Relationship didn't work out. I said, thank the Lord. You've been trying to get out of it anyhow. They got on your nerves, you got on their nerves. Y'all wasn't compatible. Y'all were just trying to make it work. I'm talking about the boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. I'm talking, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You don't have to deal with the headaches. I mean, he wasn't going to work. You ought to thank God. Now, you ain't, look, y'all ain't got to go Dutch no more. Oh, I'm sorry. You ain't got to pay for everything no more. Thank God. Thank him. In all circumstances, thank God. When life gets heavy, thank God. Not only because it could be worse, but watch this. Thank God because it gets better. Thank God because you know he can make everything better. And look, he doesn't always make everything better overnight. Sometimes it takes a little time. And that's why we as brothers and sisters ought to be able to rejoice with one another and put our arms around one another and watch this and thank God with and celebrate with one another. That's why our testimonies are so meaningful. Because our testimonies don't just, they're not just exploits about us and what God has done, but they're also to strengthen other people. Strengthen those around us. Being able to tell other folks, look, baby, it's going to be all right. Been there, got the T-shirt and the belt buckle. Look, don't nothing resolve pain, but a little time in God. Whatever it is, wherever you are, whatever the circumstance, thank God. I know. It's difficult because we see what's happening. We experience what's happening.
That's right.
But Paul puts a phrase in there that we cannot get around. And this is really the tack in the sermon. Mm-hmm. Or the lesson. This is the tack. He says, for this is the will of God. In Christ for you. Rejoice, pray, be thankful, because that's what God wants from you. That's what God wills from you. That's what God desires. Our life sometimes has to be a testimony and an example for other people. There are other people who are going through things that are not even an inkling of what you're going through. And the Lord may just put you in their lives so they can see what it means to be thankful.
That's right.
And to be prayerful. Mm-hmm. And to be faithful and to be rejoicing and 9 times out of 10 they can look and they can say, you know what, look, if he can deal with that and I'm dealing with this, whoo, I got a lot to be thankful for. There are moments that God uses our lives as a witness for others. I don't know why, but I know he does it. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. He wants us to pray. He wants to hear from you. I'm through now. He wants us to rejoice. Here's what y'all do. Take out a sheet of paper when you get home. And start writing down stuff that I'm not thankful for. Just start writing. I'm not thankful for this. I'm not thankful for that. Now, after you finish with that list, start another list and start writing things I'm thankful for. And when you get through with the list, compare the lists. When you compare the lists, see, don't you have more to be thankful for than you do to be non-thankful for? What does that mean, Reverend? That means God is ever working in your life. God is, it may not look like it, but God is ever making a way. God is ever providing. God is ever doing and working. Look, let me tell you one thing you ought to be thankful for. Something he did before you even knew who you were. Songwriter said, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. An emblem of suffering and shame. Then he gets to the part, he said, and I cherish the old rugged cross. I don't know about you, but there ought to be some thank yous for the cross. He died so that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. He died so that you and I could lift up holy hands and tell him, thank you. He died so that you and I could rejoice and just keep adding joy. Look, when you know you ought to just when stuff just going on in life, you ought to just start doing that. And folk ask you, what you doing? I'm just adding joy. I'm just adding joy. I'm just adding joy. He's been too good to me.
Yes, he has.
Thank God for his son. He's worthy.
Yes, he's worthy. Yes, he's worthy.
I pause like that because I started having a movie of everything God's been doing for me in my head. And I had to hold on so I don't run out of this place. Thank you! I'm not what I used to be. Come on. Anybody here going to be honest? I'm through now. I'm through now. I used to be. But oh, look at me now. Big Mama said, I looked at my hands. They look new. I looked at my feet and they did too. Thank God. Oh, I've been changed. And my life been rearranged. I didn't mean to do all this. I didn't mean to do this. I didn't mean to do this. I didn't mean to do this. But oh, somebody here ought to be able to testify. Somebody here ought to be able to say, look, baby, you don't know what I used to look like. Oh, but I thank God. That ain't me no more. I wish I had somebody here who'd been on drugs, but the Lord brought you out.
decided you're on your way. Look at you now. Thank you. I ain't what I used to be. I'm through. Oh, he brought me out. Yes, he did. I'm through. He made a way out of no way. Oh, yes. Oh, oh, yes. I'm through. But my soul done got happy. Do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, what you see now is an after product. You should have seen me back then. But oh, the Lord. The Lord made a way. He made a way. Anybody here been changed? Anybody here been rearranged? Yeah! Won't he, won't he? Can he? Don't he? Ain't he? Oh, all right. I'm through. Let me extend the privileges. I'm through. You didn't want to know me when I was a fighter, but the Lord took that away from me. I've been changed. Thank you. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord. The privileges of the church are extended.